for you. Okay. The shiur today is the shiur is based on the fact that this is the women's weekend. Tu B'Av is Imritz Hashem this evening. Tu B'Av, of course, is Man L'Shaduchim. I actually heard a beautiful idea. Rabbi Rosenblum said that even if there's only a few people here who have their Shaduchim already, it really is a time that we should daven to Rabbeinu Shalom, specifically this evening, tomorrow, say an extra Perek of Tehillim, even for people that are not in the Parsha anymore. In Mitzvah Hashem, soon I'll have kids in the Parsha, not so soon. And our own Shaduchim, it's a very misugal time. So I thought that means that we have to speak about women's issues related to us. And the second issue, which will be tomorrow, obviously is very apropos for this time of the year, because I believe that this week, if not Sunday, is Zimriah. So that will be tomorrow. That will be, obviously, because I don't want to record it, I have what to say about that. This is a little bit less controversial, although controversial nonetheless. So you'll hear my take about Zimriah. This topic, I think, is extremely important because it's every year this happens. Guys ask me questions being waiters. I know we'll have to record it for the waiters that are not with us. But the shiloh becomes, of course, is that when you're serving, inadvertently, you might have to touch a girl, right? Or she takes it from your hand. Or back in the days when you used to serve, quarters are very, very tight. How do we get around that? And I got a shiloh this week. No offense to the barbers of Camp Misora. Somebody wanted to go out of camp to a Walmart-type place and get a haircut. Do we allow a person to get a haircut from a woman? Good question. Thanks for asking. And lastly, there was a whole hack a number of years ago. El Al passed I don't really know what this means, but they passed an official rule you can find on their website saying that in accordance with El Al's new policy, they can kick somebody off a plane if somebody decides that they don't want to sit next to the person next to them, right? So you cannot get on the plane. Your seat does not grant you to sit with the same-sex person next to you, okay? I happen to see, and I have a lot of experience, unfortunately, in going back and forth many times. The Rabbeinu Shalom has granted me an amazing gift of very little times having to sit next to a woman. Sometimes it was my wife, so I had no choice. But it's Baruch Hashem. It's something that I daven for because I don't want to sit next to a woman on a flight. So this is not a Haredi issue. And it bothers me when people, you know, say, oh, they're crazy. Who wants to sit next to a woman? There's no possibility of you not, again, I'm not saying inadvertently, whatever it is, touching her. We're not talking about the obvious. This is not a shiur about Nagia and your girlfriends and all that stuff. You could leave that for first week. Rabina speech, I don't know, in my day he used to do that. I used to give a shiur klali and say, you know, as if you don't touch a girlfriend. First he would say all the sources, and the Chazon Ish says, Nisa Daraisa, and the Rav Moshe says, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, what if you don't, that you have a girlfriend? You are the big fat liar, or? I can't say the other word. Okay, so that's something that is no question. We're not having that discussion today, right? Nagia is Aser. You want to say it doesn't really matter what it is. According to the Rambam, it's an Issa Daraisa. Maybe the Ramban says it's only an Issa Darabanan. It doesn't matter. It's an Isser. It's something that is a horrible, horrible thing. We'll get to the Rambam, what the Rambam has to say about this. So that's what we're not asking. Just to get your palates wet, I want to start with an awesome story. Awesome story. In my travels, I've had more than one incident. I think we've discussed this before, I travel United exclusively because I don't like Jews, so I don't want to travel El Al. But obviously, you know, United is actually the airline of Satmar. Satmar won't fly El Al because of the flag on it. And the spiel is 100% true. So they fly. So we always have these situations. I've been on, oh, this one doesn't want to. And then they're getting smart, the Hasidim. They actually, I'm not joking now, I saw this on a flight. He took out his wallet and he offered money to the woman to change her seat. She's like, got to be an idiot. She's like, $100, I'll do it, you know. Fine, okay. There's ways of doing it, though. And that's the bottom line here. There's ways of doing it. So we find ourselves on a flight. We've had the bulkhead seat. And two next to me was a Belzer Chassid. What a wonderful person. Wow. He lived in Bnei Brak. We started talking about Reb Zilberstein, and he was so excited, and he showed me he had this, I didn't even know he had this new sefer, happened to be on Shidduchim. It was amazing. It was wonderful. And then it happens. A clearly looking Tel Aviv girl comes on the flight. Unfortunately for her, she's obviously, I don't know how she was able to afford the flight, very similar to like many of the girls here in Camp Masora, they're obviously very poor because they can't afford clothes. And no, it's Nebuch, it's a very sad story. We should have a collection for them from the Lost and Found or something. Anyway, so she could not afford clothes, and she looks at this chassid, not me by the way, which is, I'm bothered by this, and she looks, because she was the middle seat, and she says, ah, yesh lanu baya po, nachon? We have a problem. The chassid looks at her like she's from Mars, and he's like, oh no, what was the problem? I don't see a problem. She's like, really? Like, yeah, I don't have a problem. And I look at him, I'm like, I have a problem. I don't understand. I don't want to sit next to this woman. Someone on the flight is going to tell my wife. I don't want. And while this happens, I could see one of the flight, there's always an Israeli flight attendant on the flight. The Israeli flight attendant comes and goes, oi, why, yesh lanu baya po, nachon? The chassid's like, what are you talking about? I don't have a problem. Let her sit wherever she wants. 5 minutes later, a crew comes out of three flight attendants, a supervisor flight attendant, and we're like dumbfounded. Like, and he says, I just want to thank you. You handled this like any person should handle this. Because you were quiet about it, we know it's uncomfortable for you. Please, we are going to give her another seat. You actually now will have an empty seat the entire flight. The middle seat will be empty. And the chassid says, but I want to sit next to my wife. I don't understand. No, okay. So, okay, again. Just thought of that. So the woman gets up and she turns to the chassid and she says, thank you very much, like, thank, whatever. So I'm really dumbfounded by this. And I looked at him and I said, it's not a lot of times in your life where you witness a kiddush Hashem. Like, you see it in your, this was amazing. I said, and it's not always that you see the Ribbono Shel Olam reward you that moment. And you have a free seat next to you the whole flight, which I do as well. So the chassid looks at me and he says, and what did you do to deserve this free seat next to you? Because the whole flight I had a free seat also. Anyway, good joke. We started talking during the flight, and there's enough talking already. I have something, obviously I'm busy. I have to take out, and I remember I took my TV out, just took it out. Boom, that was it. He didn't talk to me the rest of the flight. Something good to know, by the way. Right? If you don't want to talk to anybody, this chassid was so mad at me that he even turned the TV on. But it was such a beautiful story because that's the way that it should be handled. So let's see, is there a source in halacha that we shouldn't have sit next to women on flights if we can? Let's see. So the first is, of course, we read on Parshat Achrimos, we read, of course, on Yom Kippur and Mincha. Ish, al kol she'er bisaro, lo tikruv erva, legalot erva ani Hashem. Seemingly, there's an isur daraisa to uncover the nakedness of a woman. And I say seemingly because clearly it's an isur daraisa to have relations with another woman that is not your wife. And if it's your wife, b'shas nidaso, it's usur daraisa as well. Before we get to the Rambam in source number 2, I want to just read you the beginning of the perek of the Rambam. This is actually an isuri bi in the next perek in Chav Beis. And I think this is so important because besides the fact that mostly I'm talking to guys of marriageable age, right? But I'm talking about something that you could relate to this Rambam. Ein lecha davar b'chol haTorah kulo shu kasha l'rov ha'am lifrosh ella min arayis. Right? Oh, the Rambam was holy, was saintly, was v'chol. The Rambam says there's nothing more difficult than the Yetzahara for arayis. And he says that when Bnei Yisrael or Makabel Nasa Benishma, this mitzvah, Kiblu mitzvah zu, Bechia, Yisrael mitzvah Bechia. Pasuk says. That was what it says, Bachal Mishmachatav. That was Bnei Yisrael crying about our Arayas, because they knew how hard it would be. Ve'ein atal yotze kal b'chol zman v'zman. There's no generation ever she'ein b'hem preaches b'arayas u'bias usurus. He says, this is the challenge of the generation. This is the Rambam writing so many years ago. Chman el Tzlan, what's happened since then? Everywhere you look, Arayas, everywhere you look, it's hard. It's hard to go into New York City, especially in the summer. And that's what the Rambam writes here in source number 2. Kol aval erva al arayas derech Eivarim, O Shechiba Benishak. The Rambam's famous Rambam, Rabino loves this Rambam, that even just, I'm only gonna kiss my girlfriend. As long as it's defined as Derech Taiva, Venehne Bekir of Basar Zu, Hare Zeh Loikim Minatayim. It's Chayiv Malkus. The Rambam, I admit, is one of the few that is so strict to say it's Daraisa. There are other Rishonim who do share this as well. And this is a consistent theme, Gemara Ksuva, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that says, Aim at Israel le'arayas. That there is nobody's immune to sexual immorality, to sexual tension. We don't paskin like this, but there's a shita that says, I don't think we paskin like this. I just heard this, Baruch Hashem, on my way up. I have over 3 hours in the car. I was listening to Shurim to see how wrong my shir is today, you know, to correct myself. And I quoted the name of, I think it was Rav. Oh, you know, I forgot. I think Rav Stav from Gush, I think he's from, right? KBY. That said that we're gonna see tomorrow about Kol Be'isha Erva. So he said that we all assume it's a singing voice, but he said that there are certain times where it might not even be Isra of Nagia, but you find yourself talking to somebody in an extended period of time because they are the opposite sex, i.e., flirting. That's the answer. That's an answer also. That would make sense. We'll discuss tomorrow. Kol be'isha erva. Is it all kol up the chulam? Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an unbelievable tshuva in source number 3, which is a martial tshuva in understanding this issue. Source number 3, he was asked the question, Igros Moshe Eben Ezra Chelek Beis Simon Yudalid. So he was asked the question about subway travel, about bus travel. Now, I'm specifically talking about something you may have not ever experienced. I certainly have experienced rush hour in New York City. You're in the business world. You just got out of YU, and you're Baruch Hashem 4 years, and you're in the Starkish Shir, and you went to Israel for 2 years, and then all of a sudden you get on the subway, and you come off the subway, and you like have to go to the mikveh after, right? Because there's pushing and shoving in it, right? The subway, 8 o'clock, forget about it. So somebody asked Rav Moshe, is this mutter? Right? Do I have to get an Uber to work every day? Or do I have to tell the boss, I can't come to work till 10 o'clock? I can't take a subway like this. And I'm sure you've been on those egged buses where the same thing all of a sudden. Unless it's, you know, one of our buses from Ramat Beit Shemesh where you will never see a woman. You know, it's be nice and separate. So this is a martial question and trying to understand the yesod, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. Right? And this is a very similar to a tshuva of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on the subject as well. So let's look at the tshuva together, because I think this is probably the most important feat of the day, is to look into this tshuva. So he says like this: B'davar halicha basavvei ubabas bizman shahochid b'nei adam la'avodosam v'nimsam sham anashim v'nashim doyuchim zeretzeh shekashet. It's impossible not to touch a woman in that case. Yes, I get it. I'm not talking about necessarily in a sexual way. He named it Sad Hanagia Vidhiva Vinoshim as Lefashum Isr. Mishum de Ain Zed Derech Taiva Vachiva. I think he's taking the Lashem directly of the Rambam. So even though the Rambam is the strictest, there's a kulu within the Rambam, because the Rambam's Lashem is Derech Taiva Vachiva. I love her. Or I'm doing it because I want to touch a girl. I want to get Hana. This is the same Rambam, Espa Kitana. Right? A girl's fully sneezily dressed, and you're some sick guy, and you get hana out of the fact that she's sneezily dressed, you're not allowed to look at her. That's what the Rambam is talking about. But he says that this is really a kula within the Rambam, if you think about it, because it's not a derech taiva. Please don't leave yet. We're going to read the whole Rav Moshe, not necessarily all inside, but it's important that you don't leave, because he has something to say about you specifically sitting in this audience. And then he says, "V'chein iser negiya bi'arayas ve'af harambam shesover shu." And it says, "An iser lav deloitzkra deraisa masha shebelo derech taiva would be mutter." And then he marshals a very important shach. This is a very important shach. Is a machlokes about the following case: Nebuch lo aleinu, your wife is sick, and not Nebuch lo aleinu, you're a doctor. Obviously, she married you because you're a doctor, and now she wants you to check her heart rate. I think that this is heart rate. right? It says in Hebrew, it's l'shamesh is a defek. It would be more of pulse, but I think this was heart rate because I don't think that I don't know. I think they have people checking pulses, noses, maybe. So comes along the based on the Rambam's interpretation. The Beis Yosef quotes the Truma Sadesha and says that if the husband is a doctor, balo roife l'mashmesh is a defek. He says that a husband can never, when his wife is a nida, and we are stricter, right? We have what we call harchakos that I don't necessarily have with every single woman, right? Right? Okay. And Ramat Beit Shemesh, bringing it back up again. It's true that if you go into the supermarket, probably if there's a woman cashier, she will not pass the money hand to hand. She'll put the money down. Right? And I sometimes like to joke with them and say, you're not my wife. Like, we're not getting married. You know, okay. That's a chumrah, yisera, which I think is a nice chumrah. I shouldn't even accidentally touch somebody else. Very nice. But if it's your wife, there's no such thing as very nice. It's halacha. The Truma Sadeshin is saying there's an iser, right? And possibly we can go as far as saying that if there's nobody else, too bad. Kuach nefesh, too bad. You never touch your wife. She's a nida. Comes along the Shach, and this is what Rav Moshe brings, and the Shach doesn't agree. The Shach understands that the halacha is different. And he says, even according to the Ram, the Amar Ella, Derech Chibuv Bia. There's no Derech Taiv over here. So it should be Mutter. Now it's true, and he quotes this amazingly, right? So the Shach is Mekel, as Rav Moshe quotes over here. Not stam, he's allowed to do it. It's nobody else. She's. It's an emergency situation. So there's room to be made against the Truma Sadesh. So he does bring, very interestingly enough, in the next paragraph, the Torah Hashlam. The Torah Hashlam was written by Rav Yaakov Reischer. Rav Yaakov Reischer is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, 1670. He wrote the Shvus Yaakov, the Chok Yaakov. Chok Yaakov is like the paskening authority on all the halachas of Pesach. We go by the Chok Yaakov, it's quoted. So he says the following thing. He's doiches divrei hashach ve'harambam je'asur midaraisa. Mishum de'ein libo gas be'isha acheres. Imir Tzashem, hopefully. Meaning that, now this is different a little bit. The Stechemet actually takes us to the extreme, this idea. And the Stechemet says, oh yeah, by the way, you can never be a doctor. Why? Because it's going to lead to a rife. Right? We're so careful. We know if there's a golden three. There's golden three. There are three things, Yoharik Valyava. One of them is Gilei Arayos. Don't we say Abed Israel to Gilei Arayos is pretty bad too? The answer is 100% it is. 100% it is. So, comes along, and Rav Moshe says that we don't pass in this way. It's actually more, not a chiddush, but it's more strict by your wife, right? Because there's no liba gaspo. But if there's a situation, this is by Hilchos Yichud, Yichud, everybody wants to hear. I have a number of shiurim on Yitor. You can listen to the laws of Yichud, which I think, I hope, I summarize it in a very important way. Especially this is a Shana Aleph big thing. Guy comes home and he says, Rebbe, I know you spoke about the laws of Yichud, but I just realized I have a full-time maid, whatever you call them, in my house. There's a woman who lives in my house. She does the cooking, the cleaning, everything. Hopefully not the cooking. Hopefully the cooking in a mutter way. She does all the cleaning. What do you want me to do? And then it always follows with a WhatsApp photo. But Rebbe, this is what she looks like, so it's not usher, right? Okay, very nice. Still usher. They're different heter. But one of the halachas is that even if you have a heter, like Pesach Pesuch L'Shur Sarabim, however, or Baal Be'ir, specifically Baal Be'ir, this is discussed about, if Liba Gospel, if I have a previous relationship with this woman, it's all bets are off. So if you, Rachman al-Aleinu, had a girlfriend in high school or in Camp Nesora, you went on Shabbos walks with her on Shabbos Nachamu, and you established a relationship with her, and now you broke up, or worse, you're still going out with her, So casual touching the kule amo lo pligi is usur. No questions asked. Why? Because liba gaspa. I have a relationship with her. Hinni muchin mazuman, I'm not mikabel any hanavim. I heard an amazing, I forgot who it was on my way up. It was such a great line. I think it was Rabbi Manning, now that I got introduced to him. So it's great line. He teaches in a yeshiva. And he said, he's giving a shiur on a similar topic about casual touching. And this guy raises his hand and he says, listen, I'm being honest with you. I'm not shomer nikya. My girlfriend, she's into this. She likes when we hold hands. I don't know. I'm being very honest with you. Means absolutely nothing to me. Right? Well, it doesn't mean anything to me. Whatever. So the rabbi says to him, I think you got more problems if you're going out with a girl and leave, but there's no, like, what are you wasting your time for, idiot? Well, I don't understand. Fine. So that's number one. Then Rav Moshe says, Ladina, next paragraph. Al kopan ladina benoshim acheres, af, if they're, right, even if they're not Jewish, even though they might be neat, there's all these different things, there's no davar tavla kulei amma. And therefore, that type of touching would be allowed. Obviously, even according to the Shach, the Chiddush is that even according to the Shach, right, or I should even say the Trumas Hadeshen, really, the Beis Yosef, that's talking about your wife. So it's going to come out a little bit funny here. We will say that if you're traveling with your wife during work hours, so you have to tell your wife, please get, and she's Anita, please get away from me on the subway, I'm going to touch these other women. Right? Why? Because there's no Liba Gaspa by the other women, by your wife there is, she's Anita. That's the way we would hope. Obviously, please understand what I'm saying. This is not a lechachila situation. Nobody says that it is. Don't put yourself in a stiff situation like that. You don't get on the bus and purposely go, oh, perfect, there's a seat next to her. Of course you should sit next to another guy or an empty seat. No Shiloh. So, Rav Moshe continues. And Rav Moshe ends off by saying that this is what the halacha is. Aval im yadua. Oh, so here's the most important part. Please look at the last paragraph. So he says like this, that first of all, he says that the chain, there's no answer. Aval im yodea shehu yavo lidei hior yesh l'manea. If he knows that he's 18 years old, he's 18 to 24 years old, and all he thinks about all day is women, right? This is an unfortunate story, but somebody came to me in yeshiva once, and he said, we just learned the halakha. We have a Mishnah Berurah Seder in the morning. We learned a Mishnah Berurah Seder about the issue of wearing tefillin and thinking about things you're not allowed to think about. Specifically, so the rabbi said, specifically about girls. When you're wearing your tefillin, the kedusha, we're supposed to wear tefillin all day, and one of the reasons why is that we think about girls. The guy said, since I heard this, every morning when I put my tefillin on, all I think about is girls. You know, when they think about a pink elephant, you're thinking about a pink elephant. It's a problem. If you know you're that type of person, you're like, I can't wait to take the subway. You're not allowed to take the subway. Rav Moshe says that 100%, no question about it. 100%, no question about it. You can't take the subway. You can't take the subway. We're hoping that it's a davar she'ein l'miskaven by the doctors too, except for the Stei Chemetz crazy chumra that you can never be a doctor. You could be a doctor only for women. For men, excuse me. A doctor only for men. Women should have their doctor. It's a crazy thing. And we don't hold this way, so much so, I'll tell you a fascinating story. I heard the story from the doctor himself. My friend's, he actually just reached out to me right before the shiur. So my friend's father is a doctor, and it's an amazing, beautiful story. He was a doctor who lived outside of a Jewish community. He grew up not religious. And he became partners with a guy in Brooklyn. And after a number of weeks, he says, can I ask you a question? It's very strange. There's a more yeshivish guy that was his partner. He says, why are you so nice? I thought religious people aren't nice. I think that was the thing. And it literally made him religious. One of the patients that he had was the Satmar Rebbesin. The Rebbesin from Satmar. I'm talking about, I don't think we're about Yoyulish, but she's still, I didn't know this. I know this to be true because I have in my office, our Mashkiach is a Satmar Chassid. He loves the fact that I'm like, quote unquote, holding, right? Because he basically thinks everybody's not from in the office. And he sees me every so often preparing shiurim, right? Okay, it's not important whether I should be doing that during work, whatever, fine. So that's when I do my mamakom reshit. So he says to me, what are you doing this week? So I spoke to him about it. He goes, oh, wow, that's a story. So he says, so what's the next year about? So I said, I'm doing this, casual touching, and Kolisha. He goes, you know the story about the Sama Rebbe, right? I'm like, yeah, but just tell it to me again. You know? I heard it in Yiddish. Tell me in English. You know? So he says the story about Rav Yoilish, that this is when he was in, does anybody know where Satmar Hasidim lived when they were in Europe? Someone just said it, yeah. St. Mary. St. Mary doesn't sound as good. Oh, he's a St. Mary Chassid? Oh, the name of the Father, the Son. You know, no, it doesn't sound as good. Yeah. Santa Maria. So anyway, in Satmar, let's call it Satmar, you know, flush in the Kios. So he lived in Satmar. And because he was the Satmar Rebbe, he was one of the, you know, the big rabbis, the rabbi of the time. They were invited to some event. So the Rebbe says, I think the queen was coming. I don't know what exactly where it was. The queen is coming. They said, okay, I just want to know. I can't touch her, number one. Number two, there's no like singing. They go, no, what are you? No, there's no touching. I said, don't worry about it. Which meant, yes. And then there was Kolish at the event. And the Satmar Rebbe had no choice because of Kavod HaBrios, or maybe even he would have been killed. So he, you know, took his glasses off, looked down, whatever, started screaming. I don't know, whatever. And so he says to me, the Satmar Chaz, he goes, and it's famous that even though it was night, when it was over, he took all of his clothes off, they burnt all of his clothes, and he went to the mikvah. And he's like, wow, this is a great story. Anyway, so in Satmar, does anybody know how many Rebbes there are in Satmar now? Now, how many Rebbes there are? Okay, good, you have no reason to know. So there's supposed, I thought there was two. There's the one from, right, you have Rav Zalman, right, you have the one from what they call it, Kiryas Yoel, and the one from Brooklyn. Turns out there's a third Rebbe. I didn't know this. Rav Moshe, I think his name is Rav Moshe, was the one who passed away, and that's a number of years ago now. His wife, I promise you, is a Rebbe. My Mashkiach goes with the wife. The wife, that's the Rebbe. Obviously, she doesn't, you know, have tishes and stuff, but they go with the derech. They don't like that these boys took over. Very, very strange. Anyway, this Rebbetzin, long story, goes to this doctor. And she walks in, and she's got bodyguards and the whole ganze geschäft. That's the way it works. And he feels bad, and he says to the chassid, he says, you know, the procedure that I'm performing, there's going to be a lot of touching involved. And it might be very uncomfortable for the rebbetzin. I happen to have also a doctor on staff who's a woman. Do you want to use that doctor? And he looks, and he says, what do you think? We're a bunch of fanatics? No way. So he told me the story, thinking, trying to say to me, look, even Satmar, they all, I go, you're 100% wrong. You don't get the story. I said, the truth of the story is that in Satmar, they would never, a woman, a doctor? Pasner, who would be, I don't trust her, that's crazy, you know, are you nuts? He says, oh, okay, that's a different story now. Anyway, so seemingly it would be mutter, and according to Rav Moshe, the way that Rav Moshe finally passes would be mutter, as I said, Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch has a similar tshuva, the Az Nidbar of Zilber, says this in a bit of a different way about taking buses and taxis. He said that his messiah from the great Goyin, Chaim Sonnenfeld, the Rogachover, that this was mutter, again, when you have no other choice, which is a very important line to say if you're in that situation. Now, the next side of this, so let's just summarize for a moment. I think there's no shiloh over here. We're talking about a pshas hatchak situation. So if you find yourself in, let's just discuss for a moment, the barber. So I've had this happen, unfortunately, at some point in time. Baruch Hashem granted me very little hair. So I don't really need to get a haircut, but I'm going to need to get a haircut before I go home, I think. So the question is, what do I do, right? So used to be back in the day, I have an amazing barber, Ramat Beit Shemesh. I love him. Amazing. Yonatan the barber. He's amazing. He's a barber. Because he used to be a real barber in Arizona. He had his own place. So he's got the chair, and he gives you a massage and a hot towel after. Hey, the shtak is out. It's the only like little hana I get in my life. You know, like a little bit. You know, I feel you know, like these, whatever. We know women go for like manicures and pedicures, and they spend hours beautifying this. For like 3 seconds, he puts a hot towel on me while he has this massage machine. Anyway. So, what do you do here? So, 1 year, I went to get a massage. I went to go get a haircut. And I have a massage story also, not for now. You're going to think something bad for me. I was on my honeymoon with my wife. We went to Eretz Yisrael for a honeymoon. So, we went to this place called, I don't even know what it's called, someplace up north. And so, we get there, and we had scheduled private massages. And this is something I'm super machbid on. I mean, it's not machbid. This is a halacha in Shaila. I get these questions a lot because it's like a, right, well, if you could have a doctor, right? So this is true. I have a doctor who's a woman. We're assuming if you're a guy who knows Liba Gossip, you say, yeah, but I like her. She's pretty. Yeah? She can't be a doctor. If that's something that you're thinking about while she's touching you, it's usur. No question. Generally, it's not usur. However, when it comes to a masseuse, there's no, well, she's a professional. She has a degree. She got a degree online in 13 minutes. You know, like, no, that's not a professional. That's 100% usur. I'm very machmir with my wife. My wife is a physical therapist. She has an exclusive practice to guys that are not from Leva Torah. It bothers me. And people on my block for sure not. Hey, guys come in my block. They go, oh, my arm hurts me like this. Can you help me, Serena? I'm like, yeah, here. Ow! Get out of here. What are you doing, you idiot? Yeah, she's got it. Anyway, so we get there and they apologize a million times and they say, we're really sorry, but the guy who's the masseuse canceled. Don't worry. We have a woman. We're going to give you 20% off and a woman there. I said, are you crazy? No, absolutely not. So even my wife was like, yo, is there not enough? There's not a shot. I don't care. I'll. She says, what are you going to do? Now I can't get a massage. I go, I will wait whatever it takes an hour. 100% no. Absolutely usher. No question about it. So I remember going to Walmart once. It was here when I was here the entire summer. So there wasn't a guy that was cutting your hair, and I have so little hair that I can't mess around with somebody trying to, you know, my wife once gave me a haircut. It was really bad. So I went to Walmart, and this is my first time going, and I didn't realize, I was a little surprised, there's no men there. So Mistama, we could say that this would be, seemingly would be mutter, again, only Bishas Hatzchak. First of all, it can't be, if it's the same bar, it's the same lady all the time, 100% usher. If every single week, back and forth, is the same person, there's no question that that is usher. If it's the same person you go, you know, every month to, I don't think that that's mutter at all. Because you have a relationship with that person. However, halacha lemaisa, you're stuck in camp. I had this a few years ago. So a few years ago, I was trying to be very, you know, so I called my friends in Chinek. I said, where do you guys go to the barber? I used to go to this guy, Mike. That's a great schuss for Mike. Mike's not a barber anymore, apparently. But I used to go to Mike the barber. Mike has a tremendous schuss in his life. He doesn't know this. He was an Irish goy lemahadrin. He used to joke. He goes, oh, you know, all these kids are asking me if my lollipops they give are kosher. They're kosher. Horseshoe K, it's kosher. I'm like, okay, nobody's touching your lollipops. But anyway, so it was there where I met Rabbi Savolovsky. And we started talking about opening a shul. So we always say, wherever you are, Mike the barber, I don't know if he's even alive, but he had that schuss of that first meeting that I had with Rabbi Savolovsky about opening a shul in Bergenfield. So they tell me to go to a place in Teaneck called Chubby's. Shmoy Kainu. So, yeah, Chubby's. So they said, but get there at 8 o'clock. It's always crazy. So it's over. I get to Chubby's and there's two women there that are the bar. I go, this is what I waited for. I get it there at 7:30 to make sure it was the first person. So again, I think B'Shas Adchak, we would say that it's not usher. It's not usher. Any questions until this point? Because we're getting onto a little bit of a different topic about casual touching and so on and so forth. So again, as far as the waiters, the same thing. I don't think it would be as much of an issue. Again, we could have hakpadas, and we should have hakpadas, which we'll get to in a moment when it comes to shaking the hand. So, oftentimes in business, we have a challenge as well. I've had this challenge more than once in my life, and that's the challenge of casual touching within the workplace. I'm not talking about non-casual touching. I Mamish can't believe this. One of the first shiurim that I give in business halacha in yeshiva is this year. Why? Because I say to them, and I believe this in my heart of hearts, that there are two aspects of the shiurim that I give in business. Chosh and Mishpah, shiloh you're going to have about ribbis, which we discuss, and we're going to discuss Ganevas Das, and we're going to discuss Onan, all the fun stuff. But there's another isser just as difficult, and that's the interaction with the opposite sex, which I think is a challenge I'm probably going to give equal amount of shiurim on, I tell them. So we discuss this. So a guy calls me up and goes, Rebbe, you're not going to believe this. I'm interning. And I think, I remember the shiur you gave on handshake and halacha. I go, yeah, I remember the shiur. He says, so if I heard you correctly, the following scenario is mutter. I said, what's the scenario? He says, well, we have an intern that interns with us, and she's a little bit too touchy-feely for us. I said, okay. He says, so she always comes up to the employees, and she like gives them one of those quick massages on their back, right? That's mutter, right? I said, you'd listen to zero of my shiurim, obviously. That's so usher. No. And no, but it's covered a bria, so it's embarrassing for her. She's going to think I'm crazy because everybody else. I go, good. I'm a big believer in, I just had this discussion with my nephew, Baruch Hashem, is in the office. He now has to go back to the office a little bit. So now he's like, my first interactions. They're going out to bars every night. It's crazy. I said, what should they see you as? Mishugayim. Good. Jews are crazy. That's great. Oh, that's the weird guy that won't go to the bar. Yeah, that's the weird guy. Great. No problem. But what if you have a situation where it's going to be very embarrassing? There is no situation ever where we will advise you halachically you should stick your hand down and say, but this is the way sometimes business deals are done, right? In the lahalacha, in the diamond district, right? Lahalacha. It's a contract. If you shake the other person's hand and say bracha v'atzlacha, that's a binding deal. It's a binding deal. So what about shaking a woman's hand? You did not initiate. She initiated. She sticks her hand out and she says, oh, it's very nice to meet you. Do you pick up rocks and throw it in her face and say, Shiksa, chas v'shulayim, you know, right? How do we get around that situation? So I'm going to give you mikatsa, the different approaches here. With obviously being very unbiased. Rebbe Meir of Aaron Salavejic has the following approach. The Mishnah in Yerushalmi tells us in Masechah Sota about the Sota. Very strange situation. The Gemara comments that the ceremony that would happen would have something called minifa, where the Kohen would have to stick her hand underneath the hand of the Sota. Perhaps the worst woman you want to touch is the Sota, who's accused of a pretty bad thing. So the Gemara asks, source number 4, I believe, the Gemara asks the following thing. The Gemara says, well, the Kohen maniach yado? Tachma minifa? How can it be? Ain't a double kohar? How can it be? So he says, mivia mapa, which is not a heter, by the way. Maybe, right? I have this question too. I have a girlfriend. She wants to hold my hand. What if we both wear gloves? Okay. Ve'eno, right? Fine. No, it can't be, he says. There's a chetzitza there. Mivia koin zakein. That must be it. You bring the 90-year-old kohen. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what day it is. He's not looking at this word. Maybe. Says the Gemara, no, afilu tamir, maybe even a strong 20-year-old kohen, yelet she'en yetzahara, motzi l'sha, maybe a smaller kid, he's not thinking about girls yet, like age of 3, I don't know what, but no. Gepaskin, it's mutter. The Korban Haita says, how is it mutter? He says, because afilu b'kohen b'chor, a strapping kohen. There's such a thing, lahalacha says, and this is the true, I'm sorry, this is Korban Aida, says Rav Aaron Salavejic, there are certain times, Rambam's Lashon Taiva, where it's not, you're not thinking anything about it. You're thinking about not embarrassing this woman, Nebuch, who stuck her hand out that she shouldn't have. And therefore, giving her a handshake, if you have to, b'shas atchak, which has happened, Rav Aaron Salavejic said, sometimes I even couldn't avoid it. This is only speaking about a handshake. I get the same question. What about a hug? Right? This is Baruch Hashem, we're moving very far away from this, thank God. One of the strange things about the PC movement is that everything's mutter on one hand, but now there's actually there's law firms that took on this new thing called the Yuchud Law. I could show you in law firms. They adopted it in their employee handbook. They don't know the laws of Yuchud, basically. You have to keep your door open at all times with chulu. So touching is not, but because of COVID also, it's very mukubal now not to shake hands, except this new thing started, this stupid fist pump thing, you know, this the fist, touching the fist, that all of a sudden became the new, like, mukubal thing, which is, so Rav Aaron wants to say, you're going to think about it? Again, I think he would agree with Rav Moshe. However, if you're 18 years old, and it's some, you know, model, and she's like, hi, how are you? And you're like, oh my God, right? Right? So I could tell you personally, I've had, unfortunately, a few times in my career in business where I was not able to avoid a handshake. I've always, after the meeting, picked up the phone and told my wife that I had an affair. You know, like I call her and say, listen, I want to tell you what happened. This woman, and I shook her hand. I was like, okay, and then what? I go, no, that's what I did. I'm sorry. I love you. Good. I want to tell her because I want it to be something that's me'orer that... So famously, when they asked Rav Yosef Dovzal of Eichik about this, he also allowed it, but he said, you need to have the cold fish handshake. What's the cold fish? You know, the yeshivish handshake. Do you mind? Do you mind? Are you sure? Are you sure? Can I shake your hand? Is it okay if I shake your hand? In the back is Dr. Herman. Is it okay?
Okay. So what's the cold fish? Okay. Yeah,
right. So what's the idea? What? You're going to think about it? First of all, so I have to be honest with you. As a business guy, I promise you, you will never, ever get a job. I've interviewed guys. I've interviewed hundreds of people in my life. And if a guy shakes my hand like this, I tell him, you're not getting you're a loser. What are you? What's wrong with you? So Rabbi Willick says the opposite, which is the same. And he says, this is what you should do. Nice to meet you. You know, a nice strong handshake. The girl's on the floor. Yeah! But not that strong. But a nice strong handshake. Why? What are we trying to get at here? You're not thinking about anything. You're thinking about the fact that you know you really shouldn't be doing this. So I think that that's what we have in mind here. And that would be heter number one, if you hold it's a heter. Don't worry. You got to say for the end of this year. We'll see that there are those that disagree totally. Rav Chaim Berlin had a similar approach. Rav Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv Yeshkoyach, the oldest son. Do you know any of his other sons, by any chance? Rav Meir Berlin, which changed his name, now you get who he is, to Rav Meir Bar Ilan. Ever hear of Bar Ilan? It's a university in Israel. Fine. So comes along Rav Chaim in his Nishmas Chaim in source number 6, and he says, the Asher Shaal Estivrei Nesilas Yad LePoishim Hinei Yitein Lad LePoishim Ein Shum Isra Bazeh In Ein Bazeh Adon. First, he starts off by saying, if you can avoid it, avoid it. You can never extend your hand first. But if she extends the hand, he says, try to avoid it if you can. Right? You can. Sometimes you can do this. I've done this before. Right? Especially now with COVID. What do you do? Just go like this. I don't think you want to shake my hand. Right? Right? Or you do this. You're behind the. Behind the podium, or you have two things in your hand. If you can get out of that. However, if you can't get out of it, he says, okay. But what is he afraid of? He says, what does the Torah want you to do? You have no choice here. He says, and then he says, this is the way I picture this going down. This is my thing, okay? A woman comes with this, and she's, oh, thank you, we can finally get close the deal. And she says, okay, you know, bracha v'yatzlach. She says that. She shakes everybody's hand, and then it comes to you, and you go, no. I don't shake the hands of the women. I don't shake. She comes home, right? Let's give her a name, Laquita. She comes home, and she says to her husband, you're not going to believe this. You ain't going to believe this. Everybody shook the hand, but this chassid, he wouldn't shake hands. So he says, mm-mm. Why don't you want to shake the hand of my wife? Story ends. Scene over. Scene two is the husband, Tyrone. He comes now. He happens to be a tow truck driver. And now, Nebuch, on the side of the highway, is a same chassid guy that called. And he pulls over and he's like, oh, I bet them be one of them Hasidim. Hasidim, you see them. I saw them. You see them. Right, whatever. And whatever. And he now takes it out on him for whatever he does. He drives away. He charges him $1 gazillion. Okay. Shita. Rav Moshe Feinstein has 3 martial tshuvas on this. We already quoted Rav Moshe's martial tshuva. There's 3 tshuvas on this. The first of the tshuvas not quoted over here is in Orach Chaim Chelek Av Simon Kuf Yud Gimel. Rav Moshe says, Pashat Sheh Aser, it's Aser for you to extend your hand. And then, basically says it's also usher. Person shouldn't do this. And in source number 7, which is really the third of his tshuvas, in Eved Ezer Chelek Dalet, Simon Lamed Bet, he's asked the same question, very quick answer. Vaday Pashat She Usher, Lachush Gam Derech Chai Venena, Yesh Lo, maybe. She Yesh Gam Yiris Hashem, She Mekilim, She Yesh Ladon Lekav Schus. But I heard a story about the modern Orthodox people, I'm just adding, that they're shaking hands. How could this be? So you have to understand what Rav Moshe says here because it's beautiful. He says you have to be ladan chus, meaning what? They're obviously, you can't say, I heard that there is, people not wearing tefillin in the all day. Okay, be down the cops. No. You're doing an isser, you're doing an isser. They're killing people. Okay, down the cops. No. There's no ladan chus if it's something that's totally awesome. Meaning that Rav Moshe clearly says that there might be some heter here. The gam kasafti lamala kashul smochazah. I don't think you could be smochazah. But, okay. And it's not a steer with what I wrote in the last line he says with the subways. That's not this. There's difference between a casual bump or whatever and an actual handshake. And he thinks it's awesome. What's interesting is in Mesoiris Moshe, which is the newer sefer that was printed in the name of Rav Moshe by his grandson, he writes that whenever somebody would come with this question, non-published, he would say to them, okay, b'shas hadchak, I would allow it. So Rav Moshe clearly wasn't for it, but wasn't also totally against it. And what's interesting is, the last person to pick up on this, which was very upset, was the famous Rav Sternbach. We quoted Rav Sternbach last week. Rav Sternbach goes crazy on this. And this is not a Yadas Yachid of Rav Sternbach, who again is the head of the Eidah Charedus, so we shouldn't be surprised. It's interesting, just to end off, in Eben HaEzer Aleph, I think Nun Vav, Rav Moshe does say, Sheyesh Mekelim Bazeh. There are Mekelim that allow it. Rav Sternbach picks up on these two tshuvas, not the first one, as he writes Pasha Sha'asar, and says, in source number 8, somebody asked him against Rav Moshe. How can Rav Moshe not allow this, but even say that? He seems to say that Rav Moshe said it was mutter, which is not what he says in the tshuva. He says, well, they're not doing it derech chiba, so maybe it's mutter. Because the Rambam writes, derech taiva. It's not derech taiva. So he says, if you're medayik in the lashon of the Rambam, he doesn't think that's true. He says there are certain things, just like I would tell you, right? I got a student, he's from France. And he says, well, in France, the way you greet people is not with a handshake. You kiss them. Everybody kisses, kisses, kiss, kiss. We're not going to allow that. That's going to be partial also. Aye, but it's not there. Okay, shkayach, doesn't matter. We don't allow certain things. That's what Rav Sternbach believes. There are certain things you just don't allow. And then he tells over the story in the name of the Chazon Ish. This story is remarkable. This is such a good story for you guys. A guy goes to Israel Shana Aleph. His parents are not religious. He goes Shana Bet, and then he goes, excuse me, Shana Gimel. And he's loving it. And his parents are supportive, surprisingly. And now he becomes frum, the whole nine yards. He goes back to the parents and he says, let me be honest with you. I don't want to join the family business, whatever it was. I want to learn for the rest of my life. Shockingly, the father says, Baruch Hashem, I'm well off. I'll support you for the rest of your life. But since now you became religious, I know what religious is. I have to tell you something that may be important for Zeduchim. Right? Now cue in the background of the Jerry Springer show. And he says, your mother? She's not your mother. Jerry. She's not your mother. When you were 3 years old, your mother died. And I got married, Baruch Hashem, a year later. And this mom that you think is your mom is not your mom. So now I know, Milamdus, you're going to tell me, she's my adopted mother. This is not a shiloh for now. Whether or not you're allowed to touch your adopted mother, not for now. You're going to tell me you because you're yeshivish, you can't touch her. Guess what? I don't want you to touch her. No hugs, no kisses. I get it. One thing though. What are you going to come home once a year? You're going to be Eretz Yisrael for the rest of your life. When you come home once a year, I want you to do one thing and one thing only: show her some sort of love, shake her hand. Well, crazy, but okay. And if you agree to do that, all the money in the world. You have my fortune. Only son, but if not, lose my number. So the boy didn't know what to do. He went to his rabbi. His rabbi didn't know what to do either. The rabbi goes to the Chazon Ish. Shamati mi haChazon Ish. V'amar al zeh yahareg v'yal yavur. Because Abed Zerayu levod Zara. This is Abed Zerayu, the Gitla Arayos. He's holding that it's going to be Derechib, I guess. I don't care if it's going to be shalom and chiba and great, and maybe you can make your parents from aser pashut sha'aser. Clearly, the strictest side of this coin. I respect what he says. Let's just respect. It's true that he does not sit alone here. We quoted Rav Zilber before. Rav Zilber says, "But handshake, pashut, that's aser." Rav Yom Zilber says, "No aser in bet pegimel." As we said, the Chazon Ish, the Stipler, the Mishnah Halachas, or Vanasha Klein, all say 100% no heter, it's aser. And what's interesting is, there's been a few tests, and we'll end with this, I'll take questions, but there's been a few tests to this in the history of the Jewish people. modern Jewish history. Rav Avadia Yosef, the great Gaon, chief rabbi of the state of Israel, receives the Israel Prize, one of the most coveted prizes. Who presents the prize to him? Golda Meir. Golda Meir sticks her hand out. And he says, I do not shake the hand of Ashkenazi women. No, I do not shake the hand of women. And it was a big deal, and the newspapers picked it up and so on and so forth. And they interviewed him. He said, I would do it again. We do not shake the hand. And I'm the chief rabbi. Come on. Then the story is told about Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, the great saint Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who was granted to visit the queen, and the queen of England came, and there's a famous picture of her sticking her hand out and him smiling and saying, I'm sorry, I don't do that, right? Nodding his head. And surprisingly, afterwards, there was a letter of apology that came from the queen of England, saying that we forgot, they're very into protocol, right? There's a great story about a Chabad rabbi who was knighted because of his work with drug rehabilitation. So he tells the story over that you have to go the day before because everything's so formal, right? And you go there and you have to like act. And they say, okay, the queen's going to come. You're going to go like this. Then you're going to go up. You go like this. Go like this. Then like this, like that. All these different things. Rabbi Sachs has a great story about this. Because one of the things you have to do when you're knighted is you have to lean down on like a thing. So he said to them, you know, I can't do that. Because it's like a vote, you know, it's like a vote of Zohar. It's like I'm bowing to her. So they said, okay, let's think of something. And they said, you're going to have a railing. So instead of bowing, you're going to hold the railing and nod your head. This way you won't be kneeling. Okay. So his joke that he says is that when the queen got up to him, all these other people are gone, and all of a sudden he's got this weird railing. And she looks at him and she says, why is this knight different than all other knights? Good, Rabbi Sachs, sorry, very good. And then he goes on to explain why are Jewish people different? I will tell you why. It's amazing to tell you. Anyway, this guy says, okay, they do this, that, the other. And then the way you know that it's over, the queen's going to talk to you. She's going to stick her hand out and you shake it. And he says, min al-chabad, we don't shake women's hand. He said, well, nothing do. Oh, he says, oh, yeah, we have the old protocol. Don't worry, she's the queen. She's going to be wearing a glove. He says, yeah, still I can't do it. They said, well, then you have to, you're not going to be, and now they think about it, actually, I don't think he was knighted. I think he was just getting some sort of special award. So he decides that it's such a kiddush Hashem that he's going to getting this award, he's got to go, and Hashem will help him. And he's saying, and he's telling the story over on Israeli TV. He's telling, saying, tell him. And he gets up there, and he knows what he's going to say to her when she sticks her hand out. I'm sorry, da-da-da. And shockingly, she didn't stick her hand out. It was the only person. They told her the protocol. I guess she learned from Mordechai Eliyahu not to do it. So that's one way of looking at it as well. Yosef Midvarenu, let's just summarize. We found that there is an Issa D'Oraisa generally of Chiba relationships with involved Negiah. According to the Rambam, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. The Ramban, maybe it's only Dirabanan, but still obviously very, very difficult. However, certain types of casual touching may be allowed if they are not Derech Taiva. There's no Chiba, there's no Gospel, there's no previous relationship. We might allow casual touching. Which one might then assume that a person maybe should be machmir if somebody has a previous relationship with them, or it's someone that you happen to talk to all the time, like you know it's the office assistant or so on and so forth. So should be more machmir not to do anything with them. And then when we talked about handshake, we gave different approaches to that of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik that maybe would be mutter because there's no derech taiva learned from the kohen and the sota, or they're going to think of mishugayim, or Rav Moshe saying he does think that it's usher, but not necessarily in all cases and scenarios. And Rav Shnurbach, who's the strictest, and say, based on the Chazon Ish, Harig Val Yavar, it would be something that would be seen to be totally awesome.